Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are going to finish up with our discussion about how to minister in the supernatural gifts. And start on a new topic. We want to start talking about challenges to knowing and hearing from God. So in talking about ministering in the supernatural gifts, one of the things we want to be aware of is we have the tendency to put pressure on ourselves to meet some kind of an expectation or a time frame, and really what God is interested in is you. And all the challenges he has in front of you are to help you and assist you in developing that relationship with him. So it's not about you making it to a certain level or achieving a certain purpose or ministry or goal. Instead, it's about knowing him and receiving his life, being changed into a spirit being that has a soul that lives in a body. Right now, we are, for the greater part, soul-driven. We aren't used to living as spirit beings. So instead of getting our life from God, you know, knowing God is eternal life. We have that right now. We still try to get life, our needs met, through the same way we did before we knew God, before we became spirit beings. So we, unfortunately, continue to try to do things our own way. And as we do that, one of the things that drives us is the notion of running out of time, or this, and this is part of the solical, the world system, are one of our enemies that we need to overcome. This whole notion that we are bound by time rather than masters of it. So we want to be aware that as we know him, we have, we could say, all the time in the world. And to do the best we can to resist attempts by our enemies or our own soul to be on a time schedule. Now, there's going to be times when what you are assigned to be working on, there is time constraints. But those time challenges need to come from God and not from an external or soulical sense. And this brings us to the final step in learning how to minister in the supernatural gifts. And that's Step 9, repeat. We've talked about these other steps, and we'll go through them real quick just to give you a bearing. Because, again, we've covered so much ground, and we've hopefully, you know, answered a lot of the questions. But the first step is to acknowledge that the gifts are available and are ready to be used through dependence on the Lord. Number 2 is be available. Number 3 is study. Number 4 is training. Number 5 is practice. Number 6, review. Number 7, adjust. Number 8 is instruct and encourage others, share what you've learned. And number 9, where we're at, is repeat. Learning to minister in the gifts of the Spirit is a never-ending cycle. You're not going to be able to cross it off your list. Because these gifts are part of your character, part of your soulical nature. And you're not going to be deleting that here on this earth, at least. We don't know what came before. We don't know what's coming after. But for right now, embrace the concept that this is going to be part of your existence here on this earth, is learning to minister. And all we're talking about is think of the gifts as part of your character, part of who you are. Just as you have physical characteristics, you're a certain height, a certain age, you have certain physical characteristics, color of eye, color of hair. Well, likewise, you have certain characteristics about your soul. And part of the soulical senses, they function in the supernatural realm. You have soulical sight. You have eyes that see, ears that hear in the supernatural realm. But we have to learn how to do that because we have so, for so long, generation after generation, depended on our physical senses. We have to relearn how to use and utilize our soulical senses. So God challenges us to learn about the supernatural realm. So these gifts are really terms we use to describe the process by which we are being energized in our soul by receiving life from the Spirit. So as we abide in the presence of God, His life through our spirit saturates our soul and begins to enliven our soulical senses. And we rediscover those senses, and we have called them gifts. To see as He sees, to hear as He hears, to know and not be trapped by the physical limitations, but learn to exercise our supernatural senses as a spirit being. Again, the key is to be in the presence of God, that He will enliven and train your soulical senses. Your great contribution is to be available, to be willing to learn, to be teachable, to be in his presence, and to value, to do all these other steps. And as we've talked before, if there's another way that you are doing this and achieving the same results, that's great. That's all that matters, is that you are learning to depend on God more, to know him on his terms, to be free, to be healed, to be at rest. If you know you are experiencing those things, those are the ways to know that you're on the right track. It's not about what you may be experiencing in other formats, you know, like being productive, knowing what your purpose on this earth is. I can tell you what that is. It's not that hard. Your purpose is to know God. It's nothing harder than that. It's to know him, spirit, soul, and body, fully and completely. Now, he's the one who decides when that's done and how it gets done. And so we do have a challenge with that. But that's not the problem. Our problem is that we also have enemies that we need to learn how to overcome. And so that's what we're doing, is he's left those enemies here so that we do have to learn how to live as a spirit being that has a soul and lives in a body. Now, throughout your life, God will give you projects. But those projects are not your purpose. Your purpose is to know him. Your projects are being a parent, being a spouse, an employee, a neighbor, whatever your job may involve, whatever your ministry may involve, whatever he chooses to put you in, those are all projects. Even learning a particular supernatural gift, say he's put a particular gift on your heart, that's not your purpose. That's a project. So don't look at it as an evaluation of your identity. In other words, God needs me to do this, become good at this gift, and that's what he put me on earth for. Then he'll be more pleased with me. Then I'll be able to go on to the next level. Then he will be glorified, whatever. No, none of that. He doesn't need your help. He has everything under control. The purpose of that project in your life is to specifically train you in an area, which is, that's why it's so important to be able to hear his voice. Lord, what am I learning here? I'll tell you, a lot of times you won't know what you've learned until well after you've moved on to the next project. Now, likewise, you may feel like you've been on the same project for 50 years. Well, maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is, are you hearing from God now? Are you experiencing that healing, that restoration, that rest, that knowing him? When you ask him, Lord, am I missing anything? And he says, no. And you test it, Lord, is that you? And he says, yes. You're comfortable with that. If he's not training you on something that you know about, to try to do something is working out of your own soul, out of your own strength. So let him decide what your timetable is. Now, odds are there's a lot more going on than you know about in your life, between your spirit and your soul. It's just not risen to the surface where God is bringing it to your awareness. But when he does, one of the neat things is he's pretty much done all the heavy lifting. 99% of the hard stuff is already done by the time he brings it to our attention. Whether it's learning something new, changing our beliefs, healing, or giving us a new direction. One of the underlying purposes of our time here is to gain confidence in God's love for us. Love that isn't tested is not worth anything. And it's not our love for him that needs to be tested. It's his love for us. So how many people do we know that were Christians, are Christians, and they failed so miserably in an area, and they feel like God can't love them because they failed so miserably? That's the exact opposite of God's heart. Because then God's love is dependent on our actions, our behavior, that we are so powerful that we can stop God's love. And that's exactly the opposite of who he is. So until we can experience his unconditional love for ourselves, in whatever way God chooses to reveal that to us, we don't have to necessarily go through terrible experiences where we turn from him or whatever to experience his unconditional love. He chooses for each one of us what that experience, what that process will be. But we do, each one of us, needs to be able to have that confidence personally that he loves us. Not because for any other reason than that's who he is. He can't not love you. The only thing he can do is love you. That's who he is. So to say, well, okay, you know, God, you know, you have sin in your life, God can't love you. You don't know him, and you're believing lies. So we don't want to get too distracted, but be encouraged. If there's an area in your life where you feel like God doesn't love you, go to him now and ask him, Lord, is this from you? Do you love me? And work that through. Test it. Because if you ask the Lord, do you love me? And if you get an answer other than yes, you're being lied to. That's a lie. You need to expose where it comes from, and we won't get totally off track in dealing with that. But if you've got any questions about that, you're not familiar with how you take it from there, drop me a line at Diane@therainersclub.org. And I will walk you through those steps or point you to how to do that. But if you're hearing anything other than yes, when you ask God, do you love me, interference or you're believing lies or both, and you need to deal with that first, because that's going to hinder your ability to hear from him clearly and to get healed and to be able to overcome your enemies and to accomplish those things that God wants to do in you, which is reveal himself to you. So again, back to step 9, repeat. This is something you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, for the rest of your time here on this earth. It's a never-ending cycle. And odds are it's going to continue after we leave this earth time. God himself is never ending. Another part of his character or personhood is that he is eternally creative. He is constantly giving. He is always more. There's always something more to him. He's not static. It's not necessarily to say that he changes, that he just grows. He expands. He creates. So we have no idea what the Lord has waiting for each of us. Because of his character, it's always expanding. He always has something new waiting for us. And when we know how much he loves us, we will be excited about what he has for us. But we don't know what price will be involved, what it will cost us to be able to embrace what God has for us. But we do know that whatever it is, we will be ready. We have no idea what he wants to gift us with, how, what he's like to be, you know, we sometimes think that, oh, it'd be so great to be in his presence. Well, most of us, we would not be able to stand it because we haven't, we barely are in his presence and can hardly stand it when it's just a minuscule amount of him, because we are still living so much out of our physical being and our soulical being. And because of his mercy and grace and patience, he is gentle with us. His goal is not to destroy us, but to make us whole, make us one, spirit, soul, and body. So that we want to be confident that whatever the price is to know him on his terms, it will be worth it. Whatever he's saying, whatever he's putting his finger on, or whatever new direction he's giving you, you're going to love it. It will be worth it. You'll be so glad you said, okay, Lord, whatever this is, I want it. It will be for your good. So to see the Lord work, enjoy the intimacy of his private tutorship. You're in his private school. And share in the healing and encouragement of his people is an awe-inspiring way of life. Not many have walked this way, but some that have changed the world. We can walk the way Jesus walked. Only one will have that Savior effect on the world to pay for the sins. But you have no idea what God has in store for you. We can trust him that whatever he has prepared for us, whatever he has prepared for you, you will be ready. And this isn't just at the end of some great event or training period. This is every day, each day. Each of your decisions and circumstances, whether positive or negative, is an opportunity to know him more. And it's God who reveals himself. You don't have to talk him into it. It's his desire, as you are available and follow these other steps, you are cooperating with him. And he is making himself at home in you. We can enter into that calm, gratitude, appreciation of his presence, and just be, have that an increased awareness of his purpose, which is to love us, for us to know him by his revealing himself to us. And he does it moment by moment. That's where our relationship is with him. It's not in church. It's not in learning. It's in experiencing. When we do that, we are overwhelmed. Our God is awesome. He is beyond what we can share. He is beyond words or explanation or teaching to try to come up with a theology that explains God is futile and a waste of time, because you can only know God by knowing him, by experiencing him. To try to convince somebody to become a Christian without God himself revealing himself to their heart, all you're doing is converting someone to religion. And there's death in religion. We want life in relationship, Christianity, little Christs, knowing him, and not being like him because we mimic him or because we have a reflection, but because we have become one in ourselves and one in him. It's not about your actions. It's about who you know. Do you know him? The more we rest and let God be God, the more we can just simply enjoy his eternal life now. And in this way, our focus will be on that relationship, on God himself, and not on what he's doing, not the gifts, not the projects, not the impact we're having. We only see what he wants us to see. And when we are ridiculed, it doesn't bother us. Not because it doesn't hurt. Rejection hurts. But remember, there's only two kinds of people on this earth. Those that have been rejected and those that have been rejected more. There's nothing you can do about that. But an even bigger trap is praise. When all men speak well of you, that's the time to really take stock. You're probably doing something wrong if everybody agrees with you. The point is if you are focused on God himself, on hearing his voice, being in his presence, allowing him to do what he wants in and through you, all these things, positive and negative, will come to pass. They won't come to stay. And you will get your life, your eternal life, from God himself. You have a whole new set of challenges. And this is what we'll start talking about next week. But a lot of those challenges are related to our beliefs. Because when we start talking about the simplicity of devotion to Christ, it's way too simple. So many of us would much rather have like these nine steps. If I just do these nine steps, then I'll please God. The thing is the steps are all leading you back to dependence on God, hearing from him, relationship. So doing them, truly doing them, will bring you into that relationship where he is training you. So we will wrap it up here for now. But like I said, if you have any questions about that, if you're asking God, God, do you love me? And you're not sure of that answer, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. You can also contact me through the Blog Talk Radio system. So until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a good weekend.